760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and happy Thursday. What a beautiful, cool morning. Yeah, fall's definitely in the air and I am thrilled to be here. And smiling. Josh, you make me laugh. This is The Morning Quest. We're so glad you're here along on the journey with us.
Yes, and the best way to start the day is with prayer. So why don't we do that in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to say just a little bit of the litany of humility. So the response is, deliver me, dear Jesus. Oh, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, oh, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved, deliver me, dear Jesus. From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the desire of being praised, deliver me, dear Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, dear Jesus.
Now I'm going to just say three of these. This response is, grant me the grace to desire it. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. And the last one, that others may become holier than I, provided I may be as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was written by Raphael Cardinal Zalueta. He was a cardinal, I believe the secretary for one of the popes. It may be JP2, but I've got to look that up. But it's a poignant prayer.
Oh, it is. When you are pondering those, it's true. How easy is it for us to kind of want to get ahead, right? And be seen and be heard. And if that
look
doesn't.
At me!
Yeah. I know. And I say that. I mean, I truly. I can't even explain what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think about this last one, especially, because you think about, okay, maybe I've accepted humiliation or persecution or
which
being
I have.
Rebuked.
Yeah.
We all, I mean, if you follow, something's wrong if you're following Jesus and you haven't experienced that
Correct.
Once in your life. But this last one that others may be, so you think, okay, well, I've been through all that, but at least I'm holier than other people. And this last one, that others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should.
No, I know.
Wait,
yeah.
What? It's like that's the last strand of thread I can hold on to, and you know this is I mean that's radical humility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so he was the secretary, the guy who wrote this. Cardinal Mary Deval was the Secretary of State to Pope Saint Pius X.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good stuff, Josh.
Speaking
good stuff.
Of Pope Pius, St. Pius the 10th, that's exactly where we're doing the stand up.
What a segue. Did you plan that?
How divine. I truly don't think he did.
That was divine.
That's divine.
Intervention. That's where we're having November 12th, Atlanta's Funniest Priest. So we're going to have, for one night only, six beloved Atlanta priests step out of the pulpit onto the stage to debut, get this, their own original stand-up comedy routine. So, it's going to be a night of epic hilarity where collars meet comedy. Okay,
yes.
I'm getting my elevator pitch down on this thing. We got Father Ravi Cotta, Father Paul Porter, Father Mark White, Father David Dupre, Father Brandenburg LC, Father John Klein LC. And I truthfully, y'all, I've produced a lot of stand-up events, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing stand-up comedy since first time I got on the stage, might have been 2007, I think. Mm-hmm. I've never seen, and I've produced some very successful events, I've never seen tickets sell this fast for an event that I've helped produce.
That's awesome.
Yes.
It's exploding.
Yeah.
And we haven't even, I mean, a bunch of channels I don't even think have been informed about this
thing.
Oh, no,
I know. Yeah. Totally, totally. Mm-hmm.
By the time everybody hears about it, it's going to sell out.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think it may sell out by sometime next week.
Wow.
Maybe before. I mean, I don't know. It's selling so fast.
Well, and you think about it. I mean, it's so nice to see priests out there doing something, you know, other than preaching. We love their preaching, but they're human. And we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. Just the aspect, a lot of times we see priests as up on a pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. Doing one thing, but it just shows their humanity. Yeah. And they're all such great priests.
Yeah,
I don't know them all, but just hello, hearing about them, I'm like, I feel like I've known them all.
Yeah. So you got to go to funnypriest.com, funnypriest.com. Absolutely. And yeah, at this rate, if I'm doing the math, let's see.
I'm glad you're doing the math.
You're doing the math.
Yeah. Don't throw it over here.
Grab a Snickers bar. This is going to
show's over at 9.
Yeah. Tuesday to Saturday. I mean, if the tickets sell at the rate that they've been selling.
And now here's Teresa Tomigal. Yeah.
It would be, they'd be sold out by early next week. If this, like, if I did the math on just how they've sold for the past day and a half, it would be sold out.
And
by
when
early
more and more
week.
People find out about it, I think, because I told my chiropractor about it last night. He's like, oh, really? I'll be there. You know, he's getting his ticket. So,
yeah, it's action packed, man. So check it out. FunnyPriest.com. FunnyPriest.com. Get your ticket to Atlanta's Funniest Priest before it sells out.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
We've got an action-packed episode today for you, and I am super excited for that. Matt Zeruzen, president of Newman Ministries, shares how the recent passing of Charlie Kirk has sparked a renewed spirit of faith and revival on campuses nationwide. Our buddy Chuck Persner unpacks the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And guess what? We got a little plot twist. Father Reback, our dear friend, is a little under the weather, so Allison and I will be tackling the gospel reflection today. But next, Esteban Alarcon discusses his reversion and living his faith at work. We're so excited for that. We are joined by Esteban Alarcon, and it is an honor to sit with you, my friend, and unpack your reversion story and living your faith at work. I've gotten to see you firsthand just be the hands and feet of our Lord, especially praying outside an abortion clinic recently last Saturday, where you helped two some people who are abortion-minded take a step towards life. That was absolutely amazing, and it was good that you were there because I don't speak Spanish, and you stepped in like a rock star and saved the day. So glad to have you with us.
By the grace of God, man, I'm so pumped to be here.
Yeah. Praise God. We're happy you're here.
We are happy you're here. And I'd love to just get into a little bit of your story, an overview of your reversion. If can you take us on that journey? Where did it begin?
Sure. Well, and I'm happy to say that I think this is reflective of something that we're seeing at a wider view across the country of young men having grown up with, which is my story, having grown up with religious parents, even more religious grandparents, just consistent Catholicism at a pretty, frankly, shallow level for myself. Sunday mass and a few extracurriculars, First Communion, confirmation, a pretty lukewarm confirmation, and nothing beyond that. And then as I was approaching my later teen years, I discovered the revelation that I know everything. Since I knew everything as an 18-year-old, I saw the holes in the Bible. That just started to initiate a deterioration in my dependence on the Bible's integrity. And then I go off to college, University of Georgia. With that new sense of independence, I started to just abandon all religious discipline. Yeah. I remained disciplined insofar as it was self-serving for career ambitions and on-campus accomplishments. And from there, inevitably, as again, many young men in that situation have witnessed firsthand, habitual sin just started to take over. And I would rationalize one way or another. And from there, the void appeared.
Wow.
And that is such a common narrative with so many young adults. And what a great gift that you have the witness of, coming back. And so, when this time in college felt kind of empty, what stirred you to search for deeper truth?
Well, at around that time, my identity had shattered. Essentially, my identity was rooted in my professional ambitions to make the money, own the businesses, and get the status. And one night I was in my room doing homework late at night, and a family friend of ours who had accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish came into my room. He was sleeping at my house that night, and he sits down on the ground, this grown man, and he looks at me and he says, "Esteban, I hate Mondays.
Wow.
Mm. I hate going to bed Sunday nights. I have more money than I know what to do with, and I just want to go camping with my kids, and I don't even get to do that."
Wow.
And that just shook my world. I saw misery and regret, and so that night I made the decision to just completely jump ship, and with no game plan. And so I needed something sturdy to build myself back on, my plan back on. And so I started looking for really what I realized now was a transcendental framework. I started with a philosophy minor, that did not click. And, then I started, exploring kind of that manifestation, new age stuff, as you know, many people do these days. And then from there, I stumbled upon this, courageous psychologist from Canada who had spoken up, about, some very dangerous laws that Canada was imposing, forcing people to abide by gender pronouns. And he ended up getting essentially, professionally martyred, Jordan Peterson.
Wow.
Many people have heard of him.
Yeah.
And so I've been listening to him for a while, and he, out of nowhere in 2017, began with no religious background, began to approach the Bible with a level of reverence and awe that I had never seen, and I trusted him. And he was also approaching it from a very rational, psychological view. And on top of that, I was getting into Jungian, Carl Jung's psychoanalysis. And so with those two things, he started approaching, Jordan Peterson started approaching the Bible and started extracting these deep, deep truths from the Bible and from its Old Testament stories. And from there, he also was able to extract pragmatic truths, because he's, at the end of the day, a psychoanalyst,
yeah,
helps people. And one of the game changers for me was stop doing everything you know to be wrong.
Just stop, right?
Just stop.
Just stop doing it.
Yeah. So there's this practical path that you're on, right? That is leading to this kind of reversion of heart that is in many ways kind of grounded in natural law. You're realizing some of this stuff doesn't make sense. And just practically, like, the truths of the scripture are leading me to a happier, holier, and more meaningful life, as evidenced by some of my, you know, people I really look up to. So where did the turn to Catholicism, or back to Catholicism, really kick in?
Well, that's a great question. I really am inclined towards, I like to have definition.
Yeah.
I like discipline. I like knowing where the borders are. And I heard a priest say one time, imagine the way the Catholic Church serves us is, imagine you're a child with your friends playing on an island. Yeah. And there are no boundaries set. So one day one of your friends falls off the edge, and now everyone's terrified and no one wants to play and enjoy the island. And what the Catholic Church does is it gives us its dogmas to serve as clear lines that have been tried and true and tested for thousands of years. And so that's what really inclined me towards it, the integrity of it, the how impenetrable it's been. And how you can just keep going deeper and deeper and keep getting answers and keep getting answers and revelations.
Yeah. And so you have a you know, what I love is you shared something the other day with, in terms of kind of knowing which direction to head into. I love that you said, you know, the most important thing, you know, that has really, that anchors you professionally and personally is staying in a state of grace. Can you unpack that a little bit more, how you try to impart that message to others?
Surely. Staying in state of grace has been the test for me to see if I'm making the right decision, if I'm thinking the right thoughts, if I'm saying the right words. Knowing that I'm in a state of grace gives me more faith in that. And kind of the way I put it when we were talking about that, Josh, is whenever I want to make big decisions, or have an important conversation, I make sure to look at my dashboard and to see that I am on a state in a state of grace, and to make a big decision or to have an important conversation, or to do anything of significance without being in a state of grace, I realize is like going on a country, on a road trip across the country with your family in the car while all of the check engine lights are on.
Yeah, well said.
True. And a nail is in your tire. So something can go wrong very, very quickly.
Yes.
And being in a state of grace also allows me to have clarity, to know that my state of mind is much more protected when it's making decisions. And so that's what being in a state of grace has provided.
Amen. And just a reminder that, you know, that is what the sacraments are for, right? Mm-hmm. For us to stay in that sacramental orbit and trust that if we do, God makes our life better. He makes us better at life, but truly orients us towards eternal life. We've been talking with Esteban Alarcón, discussing his incredible reversion story. We're going to have to get back with you in part two and how you share your faith at work. This has been so spiritually nourishing. Thank you so much for this incredible interview, my friend.
Thank you, Josh. Allison, Dave, thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Matt Zerusen, president of Newman Ministry, shares how the recent passing of Charlie Kirk has sparked a renewed spirit of faith and revival on campuses nationwide. Our buddy Chuck Persner unpacks the Feast of the Guardian Angels, which is going to be really moving. And unfortunately, Father Rebeck, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene, is under the weather, so Allison and I will be tackling the gospel reading.
Are we back? We're trying something new here.
I'm kind of wondering what's going on.
This is so fun.
I feel like I'm in a 70s buddy cop movie or something. What the heck is going on?
It's just something new. We're trying it out here.
Okay, Starsky. Thank you.
Dave worked so hard on all these little intros and outros.
It's good, but I'm like, what is going on? Is this Soul Train? What happened here?
Well, listen, we're about to dive into the soul, because what are we doing now, Josh?
Yeah, we are unpacking.
That's right. It is Soul Train.
We, Allison, and I have to do a court-ordered gospel reading today because our professional Catholic is human and under the weather, who
we love, a fan favorite,
Father Rebeck. Why don't we start this thing off in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, give us knowledge of your will, the power to carry it out. Help us unpack your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Mother Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, this is, by the way, Matthew 18, 1 through 5 and 10. The disciples approached Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called over a child, placed it in their midst, and said, amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And is that not a powerful message? Right? And what a countercultural example of greatness.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus overturns worldly ambition. The quote, greatest is not the most powerful, but the most humble. And what is it that a child possesses? Dependency.
Yes.
And
purity.
Trust.
Trust. Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you hold out your hands and the child is on the couch, they're going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to trust that you're going to catch them, you know? The Catechism, the Catholic Church says, 526, to become a child in relation to God is the condition for entering the kingdom. So I'm going to give a plug to the Litany of Trust as well.
Yes.
That is such a great prayer. And I'm going to, St. Augustine, a quote from him, unless humility precede, accompany, and follow every good work we do, pride rests wholly from our hand in any good work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that is so beautiful. And again, you think about it. Why a child? Like you were saying, humility and dependence. A child has nothing to give and everything to receive. It depends wholly on the parents, right? So we're God's children, wholly dependent on God. Mm-hmm. And again, we definitely have to allow him to do that. And pure trust, I mean, it's so wild because when you were younger, you mm-hmm. did things like diving off a high dive
yep.
or just doing things. And you think about it now and you're like, oh my gosh, that would be so scary. So again, pure trust. Children trust without suspicion. They believe that God, you know, there's no problems. They believe in God without any issues.
Yeah.
That well, he is sad. There. And then innocence. I mean, I think that is key as well. Innocence as a mirror of the kingdom. The church father saw the child as the image of those simple, guileless lovers of truth. That was St. Clement of Alexandria. So again, we as adults have to exude childlike tendencies.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to pitch another great saint quote here. St. Therese of Lisieux, who, I mean, her whole philosophy on life was following the little way, right? Essentially being yes. a child in the arms of Christ and letting him carry her to holiness. So St. Therese of Lisieux says, to remain little is to recognize one's nothingness, to expect everything from the good God. Wow.
And how about this for a good takeaway? So, you know, as we would pray, like as a mom, I pray with the kids. So mm-hmm. as us, as children of God, let's begin each day asking the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with childlike trust that we may receive, just like the little ones, you know, without concern.
Absolutely. And maybe a fitting way to close this, too, is with the litany of trust, right? So the response, I'm just going to say a few of them, but why don't we, the response is, deliver me, Jesus, from the belief that I have to earn your love.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the false security I have what it takes.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear trusting you will leave me more destitute.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From all suspicion of your words and promises.
Deliver me, Jesus.
And lastly, from the rebellion against childlike dependency upon you.
Deliver me, Jesus.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we've got some good news heading your way in Virginia. This is from the Good News Network. A woman's lottery win has turned into a blessing for many. Carrie Edwards won, get this, $150,000 in the September Ooh. 8th Powerball drawing. Guess what she did with it?
I read it. It sounds, it's so exciting.
What do you think, Dave? What would you have done with that money?
Give it all to the Quest.
Yeah, there's still time to join the pledge drive.
There is still time to donate, by the way.
That's what she did. She gave us, she helped us meet our matching goal. No, she did give every penny away. But
isn't that amazing?
She's in Virginia, so I don't think she knows how wonderful the Quest is yet. But her first $50,000 went to the Association for Frontotemporal Degeneration in memory of her late husband, Steve. She called it a deeply personal cause. Another $50,000 was donated to Shalom Farms in Richmond, which provides healthy food for low-income families. And
That's
the third
cool.
went
that
to
is.
The Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, supporting military families in need.
I love it. I mean, how beautiful, giving it all away.
Gosh, that is
all
amazing.
Of it.
So she said, God is blessing me so I can bless others through him. Lottery, I mean, people praised her generosity, and she just hopes that her donations inspire others to act with kindness.
Yeah. I always think if I've won a large sum of money, I hope I would do the right thing. I think I would. But
and put it right in your bank account.
Well, some of it would go there. I gotta be honest.
But truly, again, what childlike trust? I mean, she might be very well off, right? But mm-hmm. I'm like, the thought of winning a large sum of money like that and just giving
it
all, not keeping any, that is just amazing.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Matt Zeruzen, president of Newman Ministries, shares how the recent passing of Charlie Kirk has inspired renewed spirit of faith and revival in campuses nationwide. Next, Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with not a saint, but actually unpacks the Feast of the Guardian Angels.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
Oh, we got a drum solo now. That's interesting. Dave is mixing it up musically. By the way, speaking of mix-ups in the best possible way, you're not going to believe it. We are doing a show called Atlanta's Funniest Priest. We're producing a show. It's six priests, beloved local priests in Atlanta, doing stand-up comedy November 12th, 7 o'clock. and it's going to be off the charts. Tickets are selling literally faster than any event I've ever been a part of. And I,
Selling like hotcakes.
Selling like hotcakes. I'm just going to really quickly mention the lineup. Father Robbie Cotta, Father Paul Porter, Father Mark White, Father David Dupre, Father Brandon Berg, LC, Father John Klein, LC, all doing short stand-up comedy sets in the funniest night ever, where these rock stars are trading the pulpit for punchlines. It's going to be awesome. Get your tickets while you can, funnypriest.com. It's going to sell out soon, and it's going to be off the charts.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:32.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. And on a day like this, on this second day of October, I think it's only fitting that we start with these words. Angel of God, my guardian dear.
To whom God's love commits me here.
Your turn, Chuck.
Ever this day be at my side.
To light, to guard, to rule and guide.
Yes, and as Catholic children, we were looking for Josh's participation for that one, but he was...
The teacher was quizzing y'all. I just wanted to make sure y'all could get through it together.
You know, because as Catholic children, this is one of the very first prayers taught to us, a prayer in which we seek the intercession and protection of our guardian angel. The belief that God has gifted each and every one of us with a guardian angel is a cherished tradition of our faith. The author of Psalm 91, in fact, proclaims, and I quote, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all his ways." That's Psalm 91, and we'll hear that at Mass this morning.
Absolutely. And you know what? Here, we learn this as children, but as adults, right? All of us can be praying this prayer because we all have a guardian angel.
Remember it. Yeah. And, you know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church chimes in on this and reminds us, too, that, and I quote, "The whole life of the church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels." This memorial of the guardian angels is a Catholic festival celebrated annually on October 2nd. And it was Pope Paul V in the year 1608 who authorized the feast day in honor of guardian angels. And it was Pope Clement X who changed the date to October 2nd. And then Leo XIII upgraded the date to a double major feast in the year 1883. So not really that long ago. Purely spiritual, angels are created by God as powerful, intelligent, and unique persons who freely worship God and serve him as messengers. Among the lower hierarchy of angels, guardian angels have the unique role of defenders and guides. Of course, we talked about the hierarchy of angels just a few days ago with the archangels. St. Michael the Archangel, generally considered the ruler of the angels. Of this sacred and divine phenomenon, St. Jerome, who we also discussed just a few days ago on his feast day, the great doctor of our church said, and I quote, "How great is the dignity of souls that each person has from birth received an angel to protect it."
Oh, yes. Mm.
And according to our cherished Christian tradition, every one of us has indeed been assigned a guardian angel who accompanies us from the moment we're born until the moment of our death. And the mission of these angels is to protect us throughout our lives and to guide us to heaven. And I place the emphasis on that one sentence, that key word, they can only guide us. And in fact, I quote St. Thomas Aquinas, who said, "Angels cannot act directly upon our will or intellect, so they can only guide us to heaven if we want to go there."
Yes, free will.
"They can act on our senses and imaginations, encouraging us to make the right choices and live as Jesus wants us to." Again, those are the words of the great St. Thomas Aquinas. These angelic guardians, so quick to engage their wings and fly to our assistance, as Aquinas goes on to say, cannot direct or even touch our wings. But neither can Satan. We are each expected to fly on the gilded wings of free will, our free will, which must be shaped and honed to align with the truth in order that we may make it safely home on these wings. So while guardian angels do defend individuals and large groups of people from natural danger, they especially defend against supernatural danger by providing wisdom, strength, and courage to fight temptations.
Wow.
You think your guardian angel goes with you to the all-you-can-eat sushi buffet to just watch out and make sure nothing really bad happens?
From time to time, I feel a voice in my ear saying, "You really should get on a diet." And I'm wondering, and you know, to that point, you know, I sometimes wonder if... maybe like our listeners can relate to this. I feel as though I neglect my guardian angel. I'm not in conversation with them as often as I should be. But maybe when we talk to ourselves throughout the course of the day, which I do all day.
I do too.
And we hear answers from time to time, like wisdom. And I'm like, where'd that come from? I'm not that smart. Maybe it's our guardian angel responding.
Yeah, and in my defense, just to make sure I don't have to go to confession right after this, I'm not slamming Chuck for his dietary habits.
Yes,
you are. It's a running theme. He's come in here and talked about this particular all-you-can-eat sushi place being...
in Woodstock.
Yeah.
Yes.
A platform of temptation.
It certainly is. And if you were to slam me for my eating habits, it would be well justified. Believe me. But you know, guardian angels share the message of the gospel. Mm-hmm. They are rooted in the gospel and lead people to Jesus, helping man achieve salvation by awakening a desire to be with God in heaven. In the service of God alone, guardian angels are not owned and are not under the authority of the person who they protect. That's important to remember. Mm-hmm. Rather, Catholics should develop a loving relationship with the angel that God has entrusted to them.
And I would say any Christian, right? I mean, I don't know if non-Catholics understand that they have a guardian angel.
And that's an important point, too. Whether you believe in guardian angels or not, you've got one.
You've got one.
And the saints, like you shared, Chuck, there is a laundry list of saints who were very, very faithful to their guardian angels mm-hmm. in terms of asking for help. Listen to St. Bernard of Clairvaux. Whenever you feel temptations of the flesh or the assaults of the devil, call upon your guardian angel. He's more powerful than all your enemies.
Yeah.
Or St. Basil the Great. Beside each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life.
Amen.
And listen to this one from St. Carlo Acutis. Continuously ask your guardian angel for help. Your guardian angel has to become your best friend.
Amen. And isn't it great to be able to finally quote St. Carlo Acutis? It feels like that canonization has been coming for a long time. It's
Absolutely.
Our first opportunity to quote the newly canonized St. Carlos. Yeah.
And then St. Padre Pio, invoke your guardian angel and he will guide you. So anything that St. Padre Pio says as well.
And he's the first one I think of when I think of guardian angels.
Yes.
I spoke with him often. And maybe that's because I study him more than I do most saints. But he was a huge proponent of relying on and entering into this deep union and conversation with our guardian angel every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's what this feast does, right? It invites us to gratitude and deeper awareness of, you know, God's protective presence. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he loves us so much, he sends us an angel to, you know, personally guide us, guard us, and direct us when we call for assistance. But also the true reality that there is an invisible war going on.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you echo the words of St. Jerome, which we quoted earlier. How great is the dignity of every soul mm-hmm. that God would love us so much that he would assign us this guardian angel, because he wants us all to be with him in heaven one day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, and it's neat, too, because I had a conversation with Father Mark White a few days ago, and I asked him the question about guardian angels. Can we ask our guardian angel to go to somebody else's guardian angel to kind of help intercede? And he said, yeah. Again, it's beautiful that our guardian angels can communicate with our friends, our family, loved ones, guardian angels as well.
So. Yeah, I heard that segment, by the way. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
I think that was great. And I think that's a very wise question. And for that matter, if you listen to Debbie Giorgiani's program on Saturdays, The Angels and Spirits, she encourages folks to do that all the time. Mm-hmm. If you know someone who's struggling and you're maybe growing in your faith, ask your guardian angel to help the guardian, or to speak to the guardian angel, share ideas.
Like, absolutely.
How did you bring me to the faith? And use those ideas to bring our fallen away brothers and sisters to the faith. They're those who are leading wayward lives, or those who are just looking to overcome difficulty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Allison, I think you have a quote from Pope John the 23rd. He wrote an essay on guardian angels. We were discussing it before we came on the air, and I love some of his thoughts on this.
Sure, yeah. May we never fail in this devotion to the angels. During our earthly pilgrimage, we may often run the risk of having to face the natural elements in turmoil or the wrath of men who may seek to do us harm. But our guardian angel is always present. Let us never forget him and always remember to pray for him.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah. And if we have time, I wanted to share a story with our listeners in the Daily Gospel Reflection as shared by Bishop Robert Barron. Some of our listeners may get mm-hmm. these in the morning, but he shared an interesting story that one afternoon, two relatively inexperienced pilots found themselves lost on a foggy day. They tried frantically to make contact with an airport, but were incapable of doing so after numerous attempts. Finally, one of them prayed for protection.
Wow.
Suddenly, a voice crackled onto the radio. The speaker identified himself as a controller from a small airport nearby. Through very precise instructions, he guided the two pilots through the fog to a landing strip at that airport. Upon arrival, they went on to discover that the airport was closed and that there was no one on duty.
Wow.
Whoa.
So is this a bizarre coincidence? Is this a
divine intervention?
Episode of the Twilight Zone?
No.
This perhaps was protection by their guardian angels. And, you know, I think we all have stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lyric to a song that I enjoy. It's the first lyric of the song. It says, "My guardian angel wears a hard hat, else I wouldn't be standing here today."
Wow.
And maybe some of us can relate to that in our 20s and maybe even into our 30s. We were doing some things maybe we shouldn't have been doing, or even earlier than that. But our guardian angel pulls us through.
Unless you're Chuck. He's a good boy.
Yes, well,
your guardian angel has been off the clock for a while because you have just been...
Obviously, I'm speaking of other people.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect person from day one.
Chucky's the only living man who's been canonized, right?
Far from it.
This is a powerful reminder of God's deep love and protective care over his children. So, Chuck, why don't you close us with the prayer we opened with?
Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. Amen.
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 The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:42, and I love going to Church Pop because it has so many great articles. Mm-hmm. And I came across one of the stories. Do you cross yourself when passing a church, a Catholic church? And the priest explains what it really means. So I found this absolutely fascinating because when I pass by Catholic churches, I do make the sign of the cross. And usually I'm blowing a kiss because I'm fully mm-hmm. aware that Christ is there.
Yeah.
So it's so neat learning about this and hearing it because it's not a meaningless gesture, the priest says. It's an act of reverence, recognition, and respect for the presence of Christ in the temple. As we pass by, we greet him and acknowledge that he is there, he explained.
I don't do that. I've heard people do this before. I was just never taught that when I was a kid, but it makes total sense.
And I truly, but you know what, Dave, I don't think I was taught that as a kid. I mean, I think this just kind of came over time, like,
yeah,
just spiritual growth.
Well, it makes total sense.
Yeah. And, you know, by making the sign of the cross, he added, we acknowledge that Jesus is alive in the Eucharist. And he is. Every Catholic church, I mean, here in our chapel, mm-hmm. here in the studio chapel, Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist in the tabernacle. So, yeah, he is with us.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. Or you could raise the stakes and do what I do. When I cross the church, I pray a rosary.
Ooh.
Every time.
How come you're so late, Josh? Yes,
exactly. Doesn't matter which denomination. I just always know. Just kidding.
Well, and this is also a great quote from Father Melson. He said, do it with your heart because you are not greeting a building, but the Lord himself who awaits you right. in the tabernacle.
Well
He's
said.
Always there waiting.
Well said. And by the way, I said denomination, but you know, Catholic Church, not actually a denomination because we were... we are the foundational.
The original, yeah,
we're the OG.
The OG.
We're the, yeah, from the hands of the Lord himself. It's his church, right? And
the
so
OC,
the other one.
The original Christian.
OC. That's, yeah, there we go.
So when you're passing by any Catholic church, make the sign of the cross in reverence, knowing that Christ is truly present there. And heck, maybe if you can, stop in and say hi to him.
Yeah.
Go and take a visit. Don't just make the sign of the cross. Stop.
Amen.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Matt Jerusalem, president of Newman Ministries, shares how the recent passing of Charlie Kirk has sparked a renewed spirit of faith and revival on campuses nationwide. It is 8:47, and we are joined by Matt Jerusalem, head of Newman Ministries, discussing how the tragic death of Charlie Kirk has actually sparked renewed faith in revival in campuses nationwide. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Hi, Matt. You know what, Matt? It's pardon me. It's so interesting because I saw an email come from Newman Ministries, you know, and it stated that you all are seeing something unprecedented, you know, a spiritual revival on campuses and in students' hearts. So what do you think sparked this hunger and movement, especially following the recent events?
Well, it's a great day to be in campus ministry.
Amen to that.
And, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years. I really haven't ever been able to say this. You know, it's just, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. Students are coming back. New students are showing up. I've been on the phone with campus ministers and pastors nonstop these past 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we work on over 250 campuses through this Faith Forward movement that we have. And literally everyone that I've been talking to is saying the same thing. Mm. Students are coming back, attendance is up, Engagement is up. I've seen numbers from anywhere from 5% up to some even like 15%.
Wow.
Which is crazy. This just doesn't happen in church life. So there's a bit of a spiritual revival happening on campuses. And I would say not even in just campuses. I see it in my parish.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it there. I'll give you an example of a story that I think is just so moving. One of our board members is a priest, and he's on campus. And so he was giving out communion, and you know, as Catholics, we believe in the true presence. So this young man walks up, and he's got his hands by his side. And so the priest is like, okay, are you ready to receive the body and blood? And the young man didn't really say anything. So he just said, gave him a blessing, said, meet me after Mass, meet me out in front. And so after Mass, Father goes out there, meets this young man, and the young man tells him, he says, look, this is the first time I've been back to church since I was a boy,
wow,
a kid. And he's like, I don't know what to do. But these are the stories that we're hearing. And I'm just like, man, that is so cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. And so how is Newman Ministry responding to this surge in students seeking community and answers about faith?
Well, at Newman, it's our mission to make sure that no one should ever walk alone. You know, this transition, and we've talked about this before, from high school to college especially, but just this college time can be so isolating.
Oh, yeah.
And so our job is to help connect students to ministries, faith communities on campus, communities where students can feel at home, where they can live out their faith on a college campus. And so we've been so active here recently. We just feel like this movement and people are coming to us looking for community. And so we're just trying to make sure they get to the right place. And then the other big thing is making sure these communities are ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's as big of a challenge as what it is, just the connection.
So Matt, what are some specific ways Newman Ministry supports those students when they feel lost or disconnected, you know, both on campus and at home?
Yeah, so the big thing to us is just the connection piece. So we work so hard to establish relationships with all of these campus ministers, 250 different campuses, but really it goes beyond that. It's trying to get into small groups. You know, everyone really needs to be in a small group. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you, all of us need to be. But it's trying to get students, what are you interested in? You know, what are you looking for out of your community, out of your friend group, and trying to get you placed into a small group that really hears you, feels you, understands you can be yourself.
Yeah.
And that is just such a challenge. You know, there's so many students all across the country. Getting to that next level and actually being able to place you in a small group where you feel heard is really hard work, but it's so rewarding when we can do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and Turning Point USA has received over 54,000 new chapter requests. So what does this tell you about the hunger for faith, and what challenges does it create for your ministry?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
54,000? I had to read that twice. I didn't believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, I mean, to me, this proves that the hunger is everywhere. And, you know, the big piece for us, Turning Point is a little bit more of a political organization. We are not. We're spiritual. For us, this is a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way beyond politics. We're not worried if you're red or blue coming in the door. We're worried if you want a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
So, you know, when students are coming back, that's the key. They're not turning to institutions or, you know, religion. They're coming to people. They want to come to community, and they're looking for meaning. And we have to be able to give them that.
Amen to that. You know, and Matt, this is a good question. How can local Catholic churches, campus ministries, and even parents get involved to support this movement? Because, again, you guys have different Newman ministries, Newman centers and groups in many parishes or in many universities and colleges throughout the country. So how can those local Catholic churches and ministries and parents get involved in the movement with those local connections?
Gosh, I would say every single person listening.
Hold on one second. I think he's going to pop right back on. He said he was having an issue with the connection. So let's see, because this is important stuff.
I think he might be back.
Are you back, Matt?
I am back. Sorry, I got disconnected there. The devil doesn't want this message out today.
I know, right. And I'm like, he's going to be calling us back. So, okay, yeah.
My message is, please, everyone, join a faith community, get into a small group. If you can't find one that you like, and this is important, start your own. That's the piece. We are all called to lead, and, you know, it's on us to carry this forward. We have to be welcoming as a community. We have to be ready for these new members to come back in. And that's our job. That's on us. You know, go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. We got to live it out.
No, amen to that. You know, and Matt, I know before you got disconnected, I was asking how those people in local Catholic communities and local campus ministries and even parents can get involved to support the movement. Because, again, we have many parents here within the Archdiocese of Atlanta where their kids are in many colleges here in Georgia that do have, you know, Newman Ministries, Newman Center. So how can they get involved with their local community?
Yeah, the big thing is, you have to get connected to campus ministry, especially if you have a student going off to college. We've got a program that works through the high schools. We're endorsing the diocese there in Atlanta. And you can go through the high school, or you can get on newmanconnection.org and look at we have a great place to find campus ministries and places where you can feel welcome on campus. If not, we got to do it ourselves. You know, we got to start small groups ourselves. We have a called app, which is a discipleship platform where you can start and lead a small group. We actually give you the tools to empower you to do it on your own. And so that's the piece. We have to take it in our own hands. But newmanconnection.org, if you're going off to campus, and we've got parent guides there that can help you get your student ready for college. And just everything you need to be a part of this faith forward movement.
And I would even say, too, if your kids are already in college, because many of them, you know, this is fall break, you know, and go and learn about the different ministry there. Talk to your kids, talk to your student. They might not be involved in it. That might spark an interest, right? Or maybe even reach out to get more information from that local, the college campus, the Catholic ministry. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Matt Zeruzin, head of Newman Ministries, for all you're doing to plant the seeds for the future church. It is bearing eternal fruit.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you all.
Let's close this show out the holy way. And by the way, remember, we have sold a lot of tickets since this show has started. So
keep
yours for the Priest Comedy Show, Priest Stand-Up Comedy Show at funnypriest.com, funnypriest.com. 6 priests, 1 night, mass hysteria. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.